270 is set up. We can't preach and survive in this jacket. Amen. Hallelujah. We bless his holy name. Amen. Hey, before we get started today, if you could direct your let's give God a hand clap for the praise team today. Amen. Wasn't they fire? And this is what I want to say, is that they didn't even get the chance to practice this week. And so what they done was they began to sacrifice their time and they practice on video. And if you know anything about music, that's hard. That's a hard thing to do, to practice on Zoom and all of that type stuff. But their dedication, amen, their dedication to the Lord and to the Unity Worship Center, they did that. And I'm not even sure if they had a chance to do that this week. I texted them last night, and I want to thank all of you, because I texted you and I said, I think we're going to have some people come in today. And I was trying to figure out a nice way to say, so I need y'all to be on it. Amen. And I bless God, because I didn't get no attitude. I didn't get no arrogance. I didn't get anything but heart emojis and love emojis, like emojis. And amen, we had a brief conversation. They came in. I came in this morning. I think it was probably their first together practice in a long time. But when the Lord is with it and when God is on it, amen, amen. So we bless God. We bless God for you guys. We thank you. We appreciate you and all that you do. And we don't take any of it for granted. Amen, amen. Pastor Shaniqua, could you stand up, please? Amen. Yeah, stand on up. Amen. Let's give God a hand clap of praise for her. She is Louisville, Kentucky's Teacher of the Year. Amen. Hallelujah. Teacher of the Year. We are so very proud of you. We love you. And I want to say this, and I want to say this is not to, we're all family, so we don't feel that our business is in the street. But I want to also say what I'm about to say to be an encouragement for every single mother and every mother that even may be married but is going through hell and high water, that you still can be phenomenal. Amen. The Bible says I can do all things through Christ. I am more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. Amen. And many of you don't know that my grandson, her son, my grandson, deals with autism, amen. Many of you don't know that she rides from Louisville to Lexington twice a week, at least twice a week, and her car takes diesel. Her car takes diesel, and she does that without complaint, and most months we can't get her to turn in the gas voucher, and we know she's struggling, amen. I'm saying all of this to say, don't make no never mind where you find yourself. Amen. As long as you allow God to be in control. Because usually when we start going through hell, the first thing we want to do is take control. Amen. But in the midst of the madness, if you'll just continue to trust God and really rely on him, you will find yourself on the better side of it. Amen. Amen. So I want that to be an encouragement to somebody in here that's going through it today. Stay on the side of God. One thing about it, and the Holy Spirit tells us what people think sometimes, and a lot of times you see two sides of walking in it. When you see Lovey and Shaniqua up here, you see Lovey, she's a whole human, and what that means is that she got some hell going on. But when you watch her praise and worship, you can't tell that she's going through things, because she don't give you that. You see Shaniqua, and Shaniqua's going, she's a whole human, and she's going through some things. And sometimes people will say, you know, and it's always people who really haven't gave this thing over to God that say silly things like, she don't smile when she sing. She don't, you know, she ain't all. Because sometimes, all you can do, sometimes when you're going through hell, right, you know what's the most important thing to be besides faithful in God? Be real. Sometimes I ain't got a dance in my spirit.
Come on, Bishop.
Amen. Sometimes I ain't got a shout in my spirit. Amen. Sometimes what I'm here doing is what I got. And I just thank God that we serve a God that takes what I got, takes where I am, and says, even though I know everything you going through, on the strength that you actually get up and give me your praise, the fact that you give me your talent, the fact that you give me your gift, I honor you. Amen. So I want everybody in here to be encouraged by these two women of God, because they go through things. Be encouraged by Brother Marcus. Amen. He goes through things. He goes through things. And you don't know that because he gets up here and gives it his all. And every now and again, you got to give flowers to people while they live. Amen. Amen. All right. Whew. Today we're going to talk about, we're going to end our sermon, two-part sermon series entitled, Who Am I? And does your fiance have his phone with him? He does. Text him, I said, bring him and that baby on back in here. We're going to have our children's church up and running in the next couple of weeks. We just want to run it right. Amen. So we don't have to keep on breaking it down. And if you got kids, know somebody with kids, hang out with some kids, then when you hear some kids, it shouldn't just throw you off. And if a kid yelling or whatever pulls you from the word of God, then you got bigger problems than that kid. What I'm saying to you is you better learn how to be able to focus on the word of God despite whatever hell's coming up against you, because that's the only way you're going to be able to soldier through. Amen? Amen. Last week we started a two-part series, sermon series entitled, Who Am I? This is a critical question, and I believe that every person needs to know, that I believe every person needs to know the answer to. Because one of the worst ways to find out who you are is while you're going through the fire. You ever went through the fire and you begin to see characteristics of yourself that you didn't know existed? And watch this, you know, good so that you can learn from them, but at that very moment, you ain't got time to do a whole lot of learning. You too busy trudging, amen, soldiering through. Greek philosopher Aristotle said, and again I quote, knowing thyself is the beginning of all wisdom. Knowing thyself is the beginning of all wisdom. And before I get the job, I need to have some type of understanding of me. Before I enter into the relationship, I need to have some understanding of me. Before I make commitments of any kind, I need to have some understanding of me. Might I suggest that knowing yourself is important, because when you know about yourself, you also know your limits. Amen? Let me say it again. When you know about yourself, you also know your limits. You know what's to be stayed away from. When you know yourself, and I'm not talking about what you have tricked people into believing you are. And I'm not talking about the person that you have tricked yourself into believing you are.
Come on, Bishop.
No, baby. I'm talking about you, the real you. When I was in the streets, it used to blow my mind that addicts/dealers thought that they was just ballers. addicts slash dealers thought that they were just ballers. Maybe so many of us wouldn't have went to prison had they know that they was an addict and not a baller. Maybe some of us wouldn't have died if we would have known that we were addicts and not ballers. Amen. Can I borrow you for a second? I need in my office in the back, there is, them suit things that you put your suit in? I think I've got one of those up there. It's in my closet. Can you bring one down for me, please? I appreciate it. And when you know the real you, watch this, then you can begin to create a life as well as a lifestyle all around who you really are. Have you ever took the time to get to know you and found out that the you that you thought you were was not who you really were? Watch this. And it wasn't long after that you figured out that the lifestyle you were leading was not the lifestyle that was really connected to your life. So you had to spend a lot of time, number one, finding out who you are. I tell people this all the time. I said, I told my wife this the other day. I said, go see a movie. And don't ask me which one I think you should go see. Go have lunch and pick a restaurant that you absolutely enjoy. Go. I tell people this all the time. Take some time and ask yourself some questions like, who am I? What's my favorite color? What are the things that I like to get into every now and again that I ain't got into in a long time simply because I've been someone that I'm not? Aristotle's quote is profound. I mean, if you really think about it, man, it's heavy. It's really heavy. Knowing thyself is the beginning of all wisdom. And this is heavy because when I know myself, when I know who I am, I automatically begin to know who I am not. Lord, help me. And that is like it begins to become a built-in a security mechanism. Amen. Hallelujah. Callie, go tell your daddy it's okay. Come on. Tell him I said that's okay. Go in granddaddy's office and tell your daddy it's okay. Go that way. Hallelujah. When I know who I'm not, it begins to play. Thank you, Keith. It begins to play as a built-in security mechanism. When people or situations try to infiltrate my life, and their agenda, watch this, you might want to write this one down, and their agenda is not in alignment with my purpose, the wisdom on the inside of me that has been birthed from getting to know me immediately releases an access denied in my spirit. Can I say that again? See, and here's the thing that I want to say. You got to stop being afraid of walking away from people whose agenda is not in alignment with your purpose. Amen. Lord, have mercy. And so I'm going to repeat some of that. The wisdom that's on the inside of you that has been birthed from the getting to know you should immediately release an access denied in my spirit. How many of us in here are real enough to admit that we went through a whole lot of hell, going through a whole lot of hell right now, just on the strength that I allowed some people access to me that never should have been able to even have dinner with me, let alone share my bed, share my credit, share my car. You understand what I'm saying to you? We have to begin to operate in the knowledge that's been birthed by the getting to know yourself so you can say, you can know what to say no to. And when that happens, I want you to understand and pay attention, and I don't want you to miss any of this, and because this is life lessons, amen. And when that happens, it's a wrap for anything
you might have planned. And you know, when I begin to get an access denied in my spirit, I don't care what you got on your mind. I don't care what you got planned. And I don't have to be mean, funny, style, or fake. I'm just going to tell you straight up that I'm not feeling what you own, and I'm not down with what you're talking about, and that's just that. So some of you deal with this problem when you should just say, I'm just not, I hear you, I respect your opinion, but I'm not feeling that, and I'm not going to rock with that. And that's what you ought to say. But because you don't say that, you become a liar. Mm-hmm. You become a liar. Even if you don't rock with what they're talking about, even if you don't go along with what they're talking about, on the strength that you said, I feel you, how can you feel them and you don't? And how can you feel anything that is sinful when you're supposed to be saved? So you make yourself a liar, thus granting access to your vulnerability. Lord, have mercy. Thus, you know, releasing access to your heart. You understand what I'm saying to you? To your mental, to your makeup. You understand what I'm saying to you? And so we've got to be, especially the people of God, we've got to be an example. Well, I don't know where we was a couple of days ago, and I told the gentleman that I was talking to, I said, I hear you, but I don't agree with you. I hear you, but I don't agree with you. And one of the worst things that you can do, especially if you call yourself a disciple of Christ, because if you're a disciple of Christ, you're not just discipled, you disciple. And one of the worst things that you can do is let somebody walk away from your presence not knowing the truth. I don't care if they didn't receive it, but you're going to hear it. I don't care if they ain't with it. I don't care if they don't believe me or agree. You still going to hear it. My responsibility as a disciple of Christ is to tell you the truth, whether you like it or not. And that's why y'all disciples got to stop worrying about being friends with everybody. Yeah, a whole lot of chapters. It's a whole lot of words in the four Gospels, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. There's a whole lot of words that went on in Jesus' time. But one thing that you didn't see Jesus pick up everywhere he went was friends. He rocked with 12. And it took him 3 years out of the three and a half years of his ministry that he finally said, now I call you friends. In other words, people get upset with me when I say things like this, but I don't make friends easy. I can know you, I can love you, I can be down for you, but that don't necessarily mean that we friends. How are we going to be friends and we don't know you? We don't know each other. Do you understand how heavy the word friend is? If, you know, Houdini, ghetto theologians, Houdini once said, friends, how many of us have them? Friends, ones we can depend on. You understand what I'm saying? Have you ever depended on somebody that you thought was a friend and they didn't come through for you? I want you to understand it wasn't the friend, the person that you thought was the friend's fault. It was your fault because 9 times out of 10, we so thirsty to be around somebody, anybody, just don't want to be alone. We accept friendship from whoever acts like they down with being friends. I say this all the time. We cannot call ourselves friends until we've been through something together. And watch this. That ain't just for me, but that's for you too, because you need to know that I'm going to be down for you like I'm hoping that you be down for me. Oh, God. And some of you, I know some of you might be sitting here saying, how do you know that they wasn't sent to bless you? Or maybe you be a blessing to them. And my response comes straight out of the mouth of Jesus himself when he said in the book of John, chapter 16, verse number 13, he said, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak on. He will speak, and he will tell you the things to come. Now, get your pens ready and your writing devices, because this is where you're going to take some notes. And why would you come to church and not just take notes? Because I know you're all intelligent. I know you're all smart. I don't have a problem with any of that. I'm not the brightest guy in the room. But the reality is we forget things 10 minutes after they happen. Why in the world, and that ain't even got an enemy coming up against it. Why in the world would you believe that you're going to remember every nugget that you need to make you better through the week with an enemy that's going to come to put your attention on so many different things that you don't remember key nuggets that could get you through the week still saved? Amen?
I want us to be a church. I want us to praise like crazy. I mean, I want y'all to lose y'all's mind. I want us to have to fix the chairs. You understand what I'm saying to you? I want us to, you know, I want all the, you know, the prayer cloths to have to be, I want the altar full when they singing and just going crazy and just having a ball in the Lord. But guess what? When it's time to get the word, guess what I want to see? Everybody pull out a notebook. Or everybody pull out their phone, watch this, and not be playing Candy Crush. We know how to play like we taking notes on that phone, don't we? All on Facebook. Just rotten. And it'd be different if you was on Facebook saying something like, you know I'm telling the truth. It would be good if they was on Facebook saying, boy, pastor's preaching in here. Or quoting something that was said that could help the masses. Now, you on Facebook looking at shoes. Yeah. Then walk out and say some stuff like, you know, it didn't do nothing for me. I guess it didn't. You wasn't here. Lord, have mercy. Hallelujah. He said, but whatever he hears, he will speak and he will tell you the things to come. So I don't have to waste time, money, or my mental health trying to figure out who you are. This is because there is a spirit deep down on the inside of me who lets me know if what folk are on is compatible with who I am. How many times do you ignore that spirit? Because you just want to be with somebody. Can we just be truth and tell the truth and shame the devil? How many relationships did you know before you got in it that you shouldn't have been in it? Everything, and plus two other things told you, this is not your destiny. But something on, you know, that thing on the other shoulder, you know, it spoke to you too, right? But at least you're going to have something to do tonight. Oh, Lord. Baby, can you grab my robe at work? Yeah, can you grab my robe for me, please? Thank you. All right, so get this. But when I know, because of the spirit of truth will lead me into all, the spirit of the Lord will lead me into all truth, when I know what's going on, then I know what to do. Jesus, my risen Savior, your risen Savior said, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide us into all truth. And his truth, watch this, is spoken right from the boardroom of heaven. Huh? Watch this. And not only will he guide me into all truth, but he will tell me how things are going to play out. Lord, have mercy. And this is very important. I want you to understand this, beloved. This is very important. This is why it's so important to be in relationship with God. Because in relationship, you have the Spirit of God on the inside of you. And if you are sensitive, watch this, if you are sensitive to that Spirit, if you roll with that Spirit, then you are rolling with God. Look at that part of the verse that says, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. This is where you want to write something down, because this is getting ready to get deep. Watch this. Let me tell you something. Everybody in here has enough people, in all honesty, you got way too many people, has got way too many people that's speaking into your life on their own authority. Ain't y'all sick of them type people? Lord have mercy. Let me make it plain. You ever have something going on in maybe your relationship, on your job, in your personal life, and before you pray about it, you call one of your friends to talk about it. Ever do that? And excuse me. And watch this. And they don't say, let's pray about it. They say something like, if I was you. And you took their advice because at that moment it made sense, not to mention you and your feelings about it. And not only did you take the advice, but you did what the advice calls for. Now let me tell you something. That's the difference right there. You can take some advice, but that don't mean you gotta operate in it.
Let me tell you something. I get advice all the time because if you don't take the advice, people will be offended. But I take the advice, and as soon as I'm about 3 feet away from them, I throw the advice away if it is not in alignment with the scriptures. Why am I telling y'all that? Because some of y'all saying, yeah, I done gave him some advice before. Listen, what I'm telling you is don't give me no advice that ain't godly. Because if you do, and I'm just being 100, I'm being real, you ought to know that. And I'm going to tell you, save your breath if you're trying to give me advice that ain't holy, because you're going to need them when you're 80. You're going to wish you kept that breath giving me unrighteous advice. Because I want you to know, I say, oh, yeah. It's a difference between taking advice and using it. Amen. So check us out. Check us out. And after you did what the advice called for, anybody know what I'm talking about? Things got worse. Anybody ever do that? You listen to your people and your things got worse, right? I guess I'm by myself in here, y'all. Ain't nobody else been through that. Well, the problem is, catch this right here. Here's what you might want to write down. The problem was that your friend was speaking on their own authority. Not the authority of God, but the Spirit of God speaks from the heart of God. And the heart of God has a purpose and a destiny and a gang of instructions on how to operate and able to reach them both. Many of you are not operating in your purpose because you keep taking advice from people who are purposeless. How many people are saved? Raise your hands. Don't be ashamed of it. Are you saved? Sure, raise your hand. You're trying to make sure I ain't going to trick you. You see how many people in here are saved? Now I want you to tell the truth. How many in here go to God first? Don't lie, we in church. How many of you, okay, you see the numbers dwindle. Now watch this. But how many of you, when hell hits your house, before you go to God, you go to your phone? Mm-hmm. Facebook. Mm-hmm. Do you understand at that moment you are saying, I trust the God of man over the God, I trust the wisdom of man over the wisdom of God. And even the Bible tells us, do not put your trust in man, but put your trust only in God. You see what I'm saying to you? See, stop being mad at your friend. You're the one that took the advice. I knew I shouldn't have listened to you. No, you knew you shouldn't have listened to them. Keep on deflecting. Lord, have mercy. That's a whole other sermon. Let me move on. You have got to know who you are, because once you know who you are, you know what you can take and what you cannot take. I used to tell young guys that worked for me in the street, I used to say, you out here holding these pistols, you out here beating up on people, you out here, you know, wilding out and being crazy, and you know you got that pack on you, you know you got some haters. My question I want you to consider is, can you stand what your silliness gonna bring? We already wrong. Today I want to offer this question to you. Can you stand another bad decision? Can you stand to get it horribly wrong again? You see. So when you know who you are, this is important because you know what you can and what you cannot take. When you know who you are, what is safe for you, you know what's safe for you, and then you also know what is a gamble. And contingent upon what the gamble is, you know on how losing on that gamble will really affect you. That's why you got to know you. There's a song that's written by Jamaican singer Sean Kingston entitled Beautiful Girls. You're just a beautiful girl. That's why you'd never work. Y'all remember that? There's some lyrics to it. He says, you have me suicidal, suicidal. When you say that is, I hear you. That's right. You know that song. He says, you'll have me suicidal. So I ain't never heard him say a word in church. He sung that with me though. Amen. Love you, brother. And so he says, you have me suicidal when you say that it's over. Listen to me. At first, listen. It is easy to laugh at those lyrics and think he's just being funny. It's a cute little song, you know, all of that. But Sean is saying some real things in just that first part of the chorus alone. This is a man who knows himself. And he is evidently being confronted with the option of having the company of an amazing, beautiful young lady. And where most shallow cats would see her looks and see her body and just jump on it, Sean says, no. And he considers, watch this, the magnitude of her beauty, and he does introspection. And an introspection is simply the examination or observation of one's own mental and emotional processes. Okay? Sean does introspection. And this is powerful because in knowing oneself, Sean is saying, girl, if we get together and it was everything it looked like to have the potential to be, and if I get took, if I get whipped, if you put it on me like it ain't never been put on me before, my mental and emotional makeup will begin to shift and the knobs on the inside of me begins to control. Baby, can you stand up real quick? Come on, stand up, honey. And is the robe zipping? Kevin, help Miriam zip in the robe, please, so we can do this expeditiously. And what you got to see, this is the problem. This is the problem. Some of y'all talking about, I ain't got no buttons down on. Yes, you do. Some of you know good and darn well you shouldn't be in relationship. Not yet. You got some counseling sessions. You got some deliverance to go through. You understand what I'm saying to you? There's a few meds you need to come off first. You got to love yourself and who you're supposed to be loving enough to say, you know what? We don't go nowhere. I just need to take a break because there's a few things that I need to get straight with me because I'll mess up and you won't wake up in the morning. Come here, babe. Come here. So I want you to picture this. Come here, Kev. I want you to be some help, please. No, I got to pass this on you. Can you come here? All right. And so I want you to hold the robe up. Sonya's a little taller than you. Let Sonya hold the robe. It's all right. You drinking milk? Amen. Come on. Right over. Get in front of the robe, please. Now I want you to see this. All right. You got to know who you are, because when we go places illegally. Y'all understand what I'm saying to you? When you go places illegally, if your mind ain't right and your emotions ain't set up right, watch this. Going there illegally will have you turned, discombobulated. So turn around. So here's a button. Amen. And because you in something illegally and you ain't got your mind right, you ain't took time to get to know you and get you together, watch this. When you begin to do those illegal things, the knob turns, pull the zipper down slowly, and the zipper, come on, pull it down, begins to open. Stand to the side so they can see you. Okay, yeah, Vanna White this thing. All right, so then pull it down. Now, because you know it, I like it. I like it. Pull it down, honey. But I like it. Keep pulling. I like it. And ain't never been loved like this before. And this is special. And so what happens is not only does the buttons of your life turn to open. Watch this. Come on. Get in there. Now your feelings have opened, and not only have they opened, you done got in them. This explains stupidity in relationships. Because the robe represents your feelings, and now because you're illegally operating in things that you should not be operating in because you're not where you should be, those buttons have turned to open, the feelings have opened, and now you find yourself in them.
That's real.
And so it amazes me when people begin to get in their feelings, how other people sit back and say, I don't know why they so stupid. You know, especially when they in their feelings too. Stupid is stupid. It's just different levels to it. You understand what I'm saying to you? In these feelings. Oh, God. We begin to see things in a warped sense. You understand what I'm saying to you? So now you're in your feelings. Lord, have mercy. Oh, God. Now the problem with me in my feelings is if I'm not mentally fit, if I'm not secure in myself, if I'm not grounded in God, then there is no way I can be happy, especially not in an intimate relationship. And not only can I not be happy, whoever it is trying to be with me can't be happy either. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate y'all. Oh God. Not only can I not be happy, who's trying to be with me cannot be happy either. And they could be solid in their makeup. You understand what I'm saying to you? See, one of the worst things about messing with an unbeliever is they don't believe. They don't have it together. Now, I might have some unbelievers in here today. I don't know everybody in here today. Don't let that disgruntle you. Don't let that throw you off. Begin to learn so that you can believe. I'm going to tell you something right now. If you're in a relationship with a believer and you're not a believer, get in that word of God. Allow that word of God to transform you and watch how you see your relationship getting so much better. Amen? Listen, I want you to catch this. But because I'm not straight in my head, in my emotions, my fragile mental makeup won't allow them to be happy or me. So because I'm in my feelings and we walk, come here, babe. So you ever been in your feelings and you walk down the street, come on, and you know who you walking with is fine. Yeah, she fine. And you walk down the street and Kevin, come on. You walk down the street going that way, and you walk down the street, and when you ain't right in your head, you be doing stuff like, "Would you looking at him?" I mean, you can walk with him if that's what you wanna. I'm walking to the car. He's probably gonna walk to the bus stop if that's what you wanna do. You can do it, but what you ain't gonna do is sit here and disrespect me. Notice she didn't even pay him no attention, but because I ain't right in my mind, I can't just go and enjoy the company of my beautiful company. I got a problem every time she walked past somebody. Oh God, thank you, babe. I mean, you know, she fine. So folk gonna steal some glances. Dudes gonna steal some glances at her. But what I'm trying to figure out is she with it? Did she just flirt with him and he got past me? Would she disrespect me for him? Oh Lord, my men are quiet in here. My men are quiet. Now let me get this. Now she doesn't know him. Most likely I ain't ever seen him a day in her life and ain't paying him no attention. But because I'm messed up on the inside, I'm ready to start a whole fight over some foolishness. You done timed how long it could take to get to Kroger's and 6 items and be back. And if you look at your watch and you think that she's 3 minutes over, now you ain't been calling her, but now because she ain't in your presence. Oh, ladies, don't act like you don't do it. Y'all the worst with it. Yeah. Larissa, tell me you don't know Herb's odometer. Alicia, know Kevin's odometer. The last time that we went to Kroger's from the house, picked up 6 items. It took, you know, it was 2 miles whatever change. You understand what I'm saying to you? And we was able to do that in 40 minutes. I want to know why when you alone it take 47 minutes instead of 40? What's going on, Kevin? Are you going over to see your girlfriend for 7 minutes before you come home with the hamburger? Huh? Now I want to see how real my women are. How many of y'all done that? Tell truth, shame to them. See, y'all lying. Because. You hear me? Hey, when I heard about that share your location thing, I was like, what? They can do what? What? type of stalking? You ought to just say that's a stalking app.
Oh, God.
What'd you say, Pastor?
Oh, she says she know how much, they know, y'all know how much time y'all got with the other guy while we gone. That's your pastor. Kevin, remind me to turn my share my location off. Not in here. Amen. Listen, listen.
And try as she may, nothing can get me to see how much she loves me. And the reason is because deep down on the inside, I don't love me. And since I don't love me, I don't understand how she could. Am I talking in here today? So inevitably, watch this part right here. Inevitably, I run her away. And because of the way my mental and emotional is beginning to process all of this, I don't see it that I ran her away. All I see is she's doing me wrong. And because I am mentally and emotionally unstable, I am now a potential danger to her and myself. Do you understand why you need to know who you are? You need to know who you are before you decide to get married. You need to know who you are before you decide to have children. You know how many children pay a price because the parent didn't know who they was before they... Huh? And I ain't just talking about the mama, the daddy too, amen? You need to ask, men need to ask, they say, young people, young men in here, I want you to start asking yourselves the questions before you land up with these women, unprotected, silly, illegally, and crazy. And do I keep my commitments? Do I pay my light bill on time? Because if I don't pay my light bill on time, I'm probably not going to pay my child support on time, and that's probably going to be a thing of child support because we entered into this thing illegally, so chances are it's not going to work because, oh, y'all don't hear me in here. You need to know who you are before you commit to other people's life situations and they begin to depend on you. Quit trying to stand in the gap for somebody and be there for somebody and you know you ain't built like that. Them people are depending on you to be there for you, to be there for them like that, amen? I used to be guilty of that. I want to save the world. I'm going to be everybody's dad. I got 47 kids, and I got about 200 spiritual children, and most of them don't even go to this church. And it wasn't until I began to release myself from some of that obligation that was not godly or kingdom that I began to go, okay. Now I got some obligation, some kingdom obligation. You understand what I'm saying to you? But I need to know me. Watch this. So that I when I see this ain't your assignment. Amen. You got to know who you are. Give me 5 minutes. John chapter 10 verses 22 through 30. 5 minutes. We out. Okay. Seven minutes and we out. Now it was the feast of dedication in Jerusalem and it was winter and Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, "How long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. I said to you, my sheep," underscore that in your Bibles, "my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Watch this. One of the Bible's most informative images of Jesus is as the Good Shepherd. And part of that image involves his leadership or lordship over his flock. Jesus expresses that role by saying, and I want you to catch this, "My sheep know my voice, hear my voice. Only the Lord's true sheep follow and obey him because they know and recognize his voice. Jesus said, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me." In this illustration, I want you to get this. The sheepfold represents a place of security. a protective shelter of the family of God. No one can enter the fold except through the Good Shepherd. He alone determines who may come in. So in other words, you don't get to just say you in the sheepfold because you just said you was. I want to back the thing up just for a second and ask you. I said to you, only the Lord's true sheep follow and obey him. I want you to write this question down for yourself. Are you the Lord's true sheep? Be 100 with yourself. Get this. He protects the sheep and he leads them and even lays down his life for them. Only true sheep follow his leadership. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them and they follow him because they know his voice. Christ leads by example, beloved. His life illustrates how we ought to live. It exemplifies how we ought to live. He doesn't have to push or prod us to follow him because he's guiding us. Did you catch that? God ain't pushing you to follow him because he's in front of you. Oh, Lord, have mercy. In other words, this isn't a dictatorship. This is all free will. This is all your choice. You understand what I'm saying to you? And so watch this. And his sheep hear his voice. That is, we know his voice and we recognize him as our leader. And I want you to catch this simple statement. My sheep hear my voice. This expresses a personal intimacy between the shepherd and his sheep. You understand what I'm saying to you? One day, my daughter, Malika, we were at a baseball game, a wee ball game of Noah's, and I was all the way by the snack bar, and she was walking across, and I said, Lou. That's what I call her. Her name is Malika, but I said, Lou. And she turned around. See, it wasn't her name. There's probably over 100 people in the park. We're all walking to and fro. You understand what I'm saying? So you're going to, you know, going to parks, going to the field, going to the bathroom, going to the snack bar. We're going everywhere. But I said, Lou, and she turned around. See, it's an intimacy between me and Lou. It's an intimacy between me and Malika. You understand what I'm saying to you? She hears her daddy's voice, so she knows to respond. Let me ask you a question in here. Do you hear your daddy's voice? Oh God. So there is a intimacy between Jesus and us, the sheep. In the first century, a single sheep pen held multiple flocks. So it was essential, it was necessary for the sheep to know and recognize their own shepherd's voice. Amen. There had to be an unmistakable familiarity between sheep and shepherd for the sheep to feel safe and know which voice to follow. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Knowing the Lord's voice indicates experiential knowledge through a relationship in him. Meaning, because you have been in relationship with him, because you have been in relationship with him, you know of his love, you know of his faithfulness, and you know of his power. My sheep hear my voice speaks of those who listen with obedient attention. Yeah. This kind of listening results in faith. See, because we don't listen to God, faith can never grow. And it won't be until you listen to God that your faith can grow. And Satan is banking on you keep on doing you. Did you hear me? Satan is banking that you will keep on doing you, and as long as you keep on doing you while claiming to be his sheep, you will fail, and ultimately you will begin to wonder, is this for me? Y'all understand what I'm saying to you? And I know transformation is the hardest part of this thing because it means that you have to do away with how you see everything, how you look at everything, how you was conditioned and trained by everything. And you have to read the Bible, the Word of God, and say, this is what I'm going to follow. And until you do that and stand on it and watch this, stop looking for a microwave turnout. You just want it right now. I've been to church 4 Sundays and 2 Bible studies. And I'm still struggling. No, baby. This is a process. And trust isn't overnight. Trust has to be built. You understand what I'm saying to you? And God's saying, why is it that you put humans through such a long period of time to give them your trust in your heart, but you come to me and you just want it immediately? You want to just feel like you can trust me? No, baby. We got to go through some things. And when you go through some things and you see that I'm able, that I'm Jehovah Jireh, I'm a provider, I'm a keeper, I'm a healer, then over time you begin to trust me and trust me and trust me the more. You understand what I'm saying to you? But let me just go ahead and tell some of you, beloved, this ain't how it works. I'm here. I got a Bible. I don't open it. I don't pray. And when I do pray, it's because I'm going through something. I need something. I'm not in relationship. Let me tell you something. If the only time I went to my wife was when, you know, she wouldn't feel like that was love. She would feel used. Amen. What do you think? How do you think God feels when we only come to him because we need something? God says, I'm looking for some people that love me so much, you can just sit in prayer and don't say nothing. You don't say nothing, let alone ask for some stuff. And you ever think that God sits back and says, why are you asking me for stuff and you know how you are? Why are you asking me for money and you ain't responsible with your finances already? Why you want a raise and that raise going to draw you further away from me? Huh? No, I'm not giving you the new car. I'll give you the new car, you'll be in the church. You'll be in the park on Sunday. You won't be in church. My sheep hear my voice, speaks of those who listen, speaks of those who listen with obedient attention. Listen, Paul taught the Romans, faith comes by hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of God. You hear me? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes through the word of God. And one primary way we hear the Lord's voice is through his word. By hearing his voice in scripture, we get to know him, and knowing him produces faith, and that faith causes us to follow and obey. Amen. Listen, I want you to catch what I'm saying to you in here today. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. So my readers understand what I'm talking about. You ever read scripture and God gives you commandments and wisdom and knowledge on certain things, and then something will pop up in your life, and the next thing you know, that word begins to come to your head? God's talking to you, baby. The Holy Spirit is talking to you. You know his voice, and you're supposed to respond accordingly to your master's voice. My God. I'm almost done, I promise. 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 6 explains that to know God is to obey him. And it says, we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. Whoever says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar. And the truth is not in that person. But if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know who we are in him. Whoever claims to love him must live. I'm sorry. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. Now, listen, when we say that we're saved, we say that we went down with him and we came up with him and we're a new creation. And we say that we are in God. So how can you be in God but living like you? Let me ask you that again. How can you be in God but be living ungodly? That's a better one, ain't it? Write that one down. How can I be in God living ungodly? Somebody lying. Somebody confused, amen? Listen. Lord, have mercy. Now, this is deep right here. My sheep, watch this. Write this one down. My sheep lets us know that there are his sheep and there's false sheep. My sheep, he says. And in other words, he says, there's some more sheep, but they ain't mine. And I'm sad to report today that we got buildings all over the world, even some in this building, that are not his sheep. And don't kick yourself if you know you ain't sheep. Get sheep ready. Huh? Yeah. You got to be careful to know who's not his sheep. Because watch this. If you ain't a sheep, sheep don't hang out with wolves. They get ate every time. Can I say it again? Sheep don't hang out with wolves. Sheep stick together because they sheep. Lord, have mercy. My sheep also communicates the reality. Listen, true sheep know and listen to and obey God's, the good shepherd's voice. False sheep pay the good shepherd no mind. I know the Bible said, but you know, ain't no but you know. I know the Bible says, and that's it. I know Scripture says, but the way I see it, don't nobody care nothing about how you see it. This is what Scripture says. Amen? All right. My sheep also communicates the reality of our union with Christ. 1 Corinthians 6 and 17. But whoever is united with the Lord is one with him in spirit. Of his sheep, Jesus said, I will give eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Those who believed belong to God. Those who believe to the Good Shepherd belong to God the Father. They are his forever. Jesus laid down his life on the cross to give his followers eternal life, and they are safe in his sheephold for all eternity. The Good Shepherd says, my sheep hear my voice. These sheep have heard the call to Christ and have entered the sheepfold. By grace, the Good Shepherd has saved them through faith, and now they belong to the family of God forever. Are you sheep? So in conclusion, the conclusion I came to while I was preparing this, the question really isn't, who am I? Because once that is, the question should have been, whose am I? That should have been the question. That should have been the sermon series. Whose am I? Because once that is determined, I know who I am. When I know whose I am, I know who I am. You understand what I'm saying to you? And you should get excited about that if you know that you sheep, you his sheep, because the Bible says that we are a new creation. The Bible says that we are chosen and faithful, wise and not foolish, a good tree. The Bible says that we are love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and self-control, forgiven, saved, redeemed. You should have lost your mind right there if you sheep, because he says that you are redeemed, watch this, and saved. So my question today is not who are you? My question today is whose are you? Whose are you? And if you are not God's, my next question is, how's it working out for you? And some of you may say, I'm doing the daggone thing. I'm cool. I'm good. I'm straight. But the Bible says sin is pleasurable for the moment, but then it leads to death. Did you hear that? It is pleasurable for the moment, but then it leads to death. To death. It feels good right now, but it won't in hell. It feels good right now, but it won't with the gnashing of teeth. It feels good right now, but I promise you, not at the expense of the torture you're going to go through. You understand what I'm saying to you? It feels good right now, but I promise you, one thing that you can always count on sin to do is betray you. Sin will betray you. It will betray you every time. Listen, Marcus, can you give me some soft music? I'm done. Sin will betray you every time. Every time. It does not love you. It is from the enemy, and the enemy hates you. Sin is from the enemy, and the enemy hates you. He hates you. Come here, London. London, come here. Come see Granddaddy. Come here. Granddaddy won't hold you for a second. Y'all see this beautiful baby? She ain't old enough to have done no wrong. She ain't old enough to be anybody's enemy. But the day that she came into the world, she became an enemy to God, to the enemy. The day that she came into the world, Satan began to say, and I'm just going to be real with you, he began to say, I'm going to get her on somebody's pole. I'm going to get her hooked on drugs. I'm a raper. I'm a molester.
going to make her feel like she's stupid. I'm going to play all types of games with her. And eventually she will stay away from God. And then I will destroy her. I'm going to steal her. And then I'm going to kill her. This way about London, how do you think he feels about you? And yet we know we in sin, we know we wrong, we know we foul, we know we are going against the things of God, and we understand, we're wise enough to understand that when we do this, we are taking Satan on as our God, and we know that he hates us, but we take on someone who hates us as our God. Maybe this is why we stay in bad relationships, where we're abused mentally and emotionally and sometimes even physically. Because I've made my daddy Satan. I'm a child of perdition. I'm a child of the enemy. I don't choose right. And maybe that explains so much that's going on in your life. I promise you, you have an enemy. And until you begin to walk your life out as if you know you have an enemy, you will always be a victim. You will always be a victim. You will never be who God has called you to be. Thank you, baby. So today I want to ask you a very important question. I don't want you to just play it off, and I know we're getting late in the hour, but some things deserve the time, need the time necessary. I want to ask you a question. Whose are you? Don't answer in your feelings, because when you in your feelings and your mental makeup ain't right, you will be dead wrong believing you straight in God. I want you to answer. I want you to answer from where you are in life. Whose are you? Who are you? Are you blood bought? Are you redeemed? Do you know you've been saved? Has there been change and transformation in your life? And if it hasn't, that's okay. That's okay. But let's make preparation to make that happen. Amen. Whose are you today? Listen, if we have anybody in the building today that desires to say, I'm sheep, I don't operate like sheep, I haven't been, but I'm going to be. In other words, what I'm saying to you is, if we have anybody in the building today that says, I want to give my life to Jesus, I offer you the invitation to come down. Let me tell you something, baby. I don't care where you was last night. I don't care what you was doing this morning. If today you've felt an urging, you felt compelled, you felt led to say, it is time for me to give my life to God, I want to invite you to come on down. And I want you to understand that when you give your life to God, he's such a just God. He doesn't expect you to change years overnight. He understands that we're going to have some rough times, and we're going to have some turbulence in this walk. He isn't just expecting you to say, I do and I don't do everything that I've been doing for the last 20 years. But he does expect you to take steps. It's an old saying, they used to sing, if you take one step, he'll take two. I've come to find out in my life, I take one step and he take the rest. This is something that you gradually, that you work in day after day. You see who you are day, and you begin to make the necessary adjustments and changes through the word of God, to where you begin to be who it is that God has called you to be. If there's anybody in the building today that says, I want to give my life to Jesus, hallelujah, we offer you the invitation to come now. This is the greatest invitation that you could ever receive. This is the greatest invitation that could ever be extended to you, is that I want to give my life to Jesus.